Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Tier 1 Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSLV and on the OTCQB under the symbol TSLVF. Chad and I are chatting with the President and CEO, Peter Dembicki. Now, just as a reminder, Tier 1 Silver was just listed in June. And I know a lot of people have followed the transition of this company, spinning out these Peruvian projects. The two main projects here that we're going to talk about is Curibaya and Hurricane. Now, there has been a couple news releases over this last month, one that came out just yesterday that talked about the start of work from the Hurricane Silver Project, and then some news earlier this month focused on Curibaya. And that's where we're going to start here, Curibaya, because that's where drills are turning. And also the company has been working more extensively on this project. On September 9th, we had news that the company expanded the high-grade footprint of Curibaya through some sampling results. Some high-grade samples came out of that. Also on September 7th, some news that drilled mineralized system parallel to the feeder structure in the first hole at the Curibaya project. Peter, to kick us off, give us a little background, again, on this Curibaya project and now the work that is ongoing here, please.
Thanks for having me, guys. Pleasure to be speaking to you. And to start off with Curibaya, I mean, boy, do we have our hands full with this one in a good way. You know, when we started off drilling, we really wanted to test underneath and to see if there was a system present. And sure enough, 100% yes. The rock that came back showed us that it was very altered, and there is a very strong system there. Now, as we were drilling that first hole, we got some really important data back on the surface, I guess, trenching or channel sampling. And we got a lot of smoke in that first hole, but it really showed that we weren't far off at all from a massive feeder structure. And so in that time, our technical team has received back so much quality data, and we've identified 5 or 6 very, very rich feeder structures within our drill polygon or within our drill permit where we're permitted to go. And so now, you know, there's a few different elements of where we go until, let's say, Christmas time with our drill program. And, you know, these lab turnaround times are painful. I know they're painful for shareholders, and I know we're not the only company in the world experiencing that pain. And so really the only way to combat it is to learn more about this system is to drill more holes. And so with one diamond drill rig out there, you know, we have an opportunity that we have these identified feeder structures. Well, we're going to start hitting these things at shallow depths. We're going to get across the feeder structures, hope for intercepts, and then we'll move on to the next one. And that way we can get a great understanding of these feeder structures, how mineralized they're going to be, and where we want to retarget when we come back in the new year with the new drill campaign. So it's going to be a real flurry of activity. Our holes will be short, quality, to the point, into the lab, because we got to get some information back to our technical team and also to shareholders as well that have been waiting really patiently. So we're moving at the speed of light to make this happen. And with the commentary about expanding our footprint, I went down to Curibaya at the beginning of August, and man, it sure seems like it could go forever. And talking to the technical team coming back from the field, you know, it is like kids in a toy store, a candy store. They don't know what aisle to go down. Everywhere they go, it's something that they want. It's something that they want to, you know, pursue. And the veining and the rock samples that continue to come back. Listen, we have 35 trenches pending in the lab right now. They're going to be coming back to us over the next few months. So it's really giving us more information about our footprint, where we want to expand it to, how big we want to expand it, how many more pads we want to bring on there so we can really attack it in the new year. So it's just going to be a project that just keeps giving. And again, we're prepared to drill this thing out for many, many holes before we make any sort of massive determining, you know, factor on it. But it's going to take one, and I think we're really close.
Well, Peter, I like the idea of you guys doing the trench work, doing the drilling in a more shallow basis, but going wide and just seeing how far you can expand the system, especially if you think there's 5 to 6 feeder systems on your land package. So do you have an idea of about how many of these shallow holes you want to do, or how many meters you're going to drill before the end of the season in 2021?
Yeah, so as we're speaking right now, we've completed our fifth hole. Our sixth just got turning this morning. So we, based on the drill plan we have in place, we're looking to do 8 or 9 more holes before year end. So we have to make a pause in mid-December because it's their rainy season. And the biggest thing, of course, is to ensure the safety of our workers up there, because it is desert. So you get these flash kind of flood scenarios, and you never want to put anyone at harm at all. So there'll be a pause for a couple months and then re-engage end of February, early March to get it revved up again. But in that time period, we're going to have a plethora of drill results. And then not to mention what we got happening up at Hurricane as well.
Just another quick comment on Curry-Bye here, that September 9th news release did highlight that you guys expanded the high-grade footprint. What's the size of that high-grade footprint now?
Right now, it's 20 square kilometers. I mean, we've shown a lot of people the sample chart that we have that ranges up to 300,000 grams per ton silver and close to a kilo in gold. That's happening to expanding into every part of that border. You know, it's over such a massive area that, we wish we could permit the entire area right off the bat and walk around with a drill and get it all. But, you know, it's good. We're learning a ton about our area, our permitted area. We have more than we can chew, really. It is incredible how many targets we have. So it's all going to happen. It's going to happen how it happens. But we're really excited about what we're drilling right now. It looks really strong. So we're excited.
Now, let's also talk about some of these new zones of veining that were highlighted in, again, one of the news releases on Curry-Bye. What can you tell us about some of these new zones and how you still have to maybe work up to getting the drill on the ground there?
Yeah, so when you first get your drill permit in Peru, you have to give them what's called a polygon or an outlined perimeter of where your planned holes are going to go. And then you got to stick to that. You know, so as we put that polygon down in late winter to get that permit solidified, you know, we kind of stick to our guns. Fortunately, we have multiple high-grade targets within our polygon. But as we've been working and as we send our geologists out into the field, we've been getting phenomenal results, rock samples, channel sampling, trenching that is occurring right outside of our polygon, mostly to the north, northeast, north and to the east of our polygon. So really it is now just analyzing data, determining where the strength is of all those trenches. And then when we go to reapply to extend our drill permit and extend the area, we know which sections to include. And so it's, again, I wish I could tell you it's just one area that we're really looking at, but there's multiple that are popping up. And as these trench results keep coming in, it makes it harder to determine. We wish we could just put a blanket over the entire area. So it's up to the geologists at this point to really interpret the data, see if they can tie any of the data, any of these feeder structures back to a source. And really that's the strong conviction we have. The thesis that we're on is let's drill for grade. Let's keep these holes short. Let's keep them shallow. Let's go right below lab verified veins that are showing up on surface. And let's make some intercepts here and then move on to the next one. And once we've identified how many feeder veins are mineralized and where they're all positioned, then we can start following down to the source and have that kind of end game is to see what could be producing all these high feeders.
Well, Peter, it'll be interesting to follow along with just how big Curry-Bye grows and just how much work you do to show how big this deposit could be. Let's transition over to Hurricane, though, and this is exciting as a second project. You've just announced just earlier this week that you are now going to have both of the concessions, the Magdalena Silver Prospect and the Pampayeo. I don't know if I've butchered that pronunciation.
Pretty good, yeah.
silver prospects. So two big silver prospects making up Hurricane. You've had some encouraging rock chip samplings. Just walk us through why you're excited about this project and what the strategy for the company will be at Hurricane.
Okay, so as I'm sure many of our shareholders are aware of and people familiar with our company, our technical team, Dave Smithson, who's on the ground in Peru, and Michael Hendrickson, our chief geologist here in Vancouver, both formerly of Newmont. And so they, you know, to find and discover Curubaya and the reason why they wanted it so badly was they employed, you know, their techniques that they learned at Newmont, these stream sediment techniques and blagging, it's called, and they found that Curubaya was a massive precious metals target when probably most people out there were looking for indications of a copper porphyry on surface, which is why it's been passed over many, many years. And the same with Hurricane was when we had a chance to deal with a group called Pembroke, a private company, and a fellow by the name of Dan Innes, who is formerly of Newmont. He did the exact same techniques, exploration techniques, and applied it to Hurricane, which is why we had such comfort and such confidence in making this acquisition to begin with. It took us a year and a half to get it for good reason, because we're that confident in the data that we have so far. So for us to be able to acquire it is one thing. The second thing, of course, in Peru is getting that access and having that relationship with the communities. And of course, I think we've done a tremendous job down in the south of Curubaya and gaining a reputation that we're a reputable group. So being able to get that access for 2 years to allow us to get in and start working is just, it's just amazing, because, we really wanted to get in there as fast as we could. So as I mentioned, geologists are en route right now to get boots on the ground and start seeing what we can find up there. It's at an early stage, but it is truly an honor to have two massive silver discovery opportunities, both in Peru, and both extremely showing incredible high grade opportunity right off the bat.
So then, Peter, just summarize for everybody in terms of news flow coming up, near term catalysts, what can investors expect out of the company?
So I mentioned before, we have 35 pending trenches coming from Curubaya itself. I don't know how many times that we have in rock samples coming back as well. So people love to see that this property is going to get bigger and larger and more explored. You know, sometime in the new year, we're going to probably go after and fly a magnetic survey. If you take a look at our presentation, you can see we're only really, looking at a quarter of our Curubaya property, over 16,000 hectares. So there is lots of indication there are other targets on our land there. So in the new year going that way. So over the next few months, drill results, trenches, samples coming from Curubaya. We're going to hope to expand our footprint, make that application on our drill permit to grab those other new zones that we find are going to be super intriguing. And then up at Hurricane, you know, we're just going to start sampling, trenching, everything we can do to get results and data back from there. So it's going to be a really exciting time. We're feeling great about the direction that we're heading, and yeah, we're looking forward to possibly getting some help in the macro level as well, and maybe silver prices can buoy themselves here or maybe head a bit higher throughout the fall and the winter.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion, isn't it, Peter? But we've been talking to a lot of people about the gold and silver prices. But either way, company-wise, you just need to keep on advancing your projects, right? Because even in a flat metals price, good projects and good exploration can still drive stocks all on its own. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Peter over at Tier 1 Silver, please just email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Peter, really appreciate the update. We'll follow up on the back of some more news. Hope you have a great rest of your week.